Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the deteriorating situation in the dangerously polarized country of Venezuela, where President Maduro is cracking down on student demonstrations while blaming the U.S. for conspiring against his government. Virginia Lopez, a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for the UK Guardian, joins us to discuss the arrest of an opposition leader who led demonstrations and the government's apparent inability to deal with or take responsibility for an economy with 56% inflation, shortages of food and basics like toilet paper, and security for citizenry facing the worst crime and murder rate in the world. Then we'll look into overpaid CEOs, the president's modest proposal in the recent State of the Union for a MIRA, or My IRA, and remarks by former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers calling for changes in the tax code that allows a far greater share of the income of the rich to escape taxation than the poor and middle class. Dean Baker, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, joins us to discuss his article at the UK Guardian, True Free Market Proponents Should Support Private-Public Competition, and his article at the Huffington Post, Corporate Cronyism, the Secret to Overpaid CEOs. Then finally, we'll speak with Bill Zimmerman, an author, longtime activist, and political media consultant who has a new ebook, The Student Loan Swindle, Why It Happened, Who's to Blame, How the Victims Can Be Saved, and an article at the Huffington Post, How to Save the Victims of the Student Loan Crisis. We will discuss his call to action for victims of the $1.1 trillion student debt crisis and his plan to rescue an indentured generation that is fair to both bankers and borrowers alike. And joining us now from Caracas, Venezuela, is Virginia Lopez, who is a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky TV. Welcome to Background Briefing, Virginia Lopez.
Hi, how are you?
And every time I call you, Virginia, it's always bad news. And apparently the news is getting worse now in Venezuela. The polarization that's been going on now for over a decade has reached a point where massive demonstrations, the students are demonstrating. Apparently, there have been a number of people shot, and now an opposition leader is being hunted down by the government, and he's being accused of fomenting social unrest, and the government's just kicked out three U.S. consular officials that they blame for all of this unrest. At what point does Maduro take responsibility for anything that's happening in his country?
I'll just start by telling you that the opposition leader that was being hunted down has been just held by authorities about an hour or so ago. He was heading a protest of peaceful demonstrators and basically handed himself in in a very strong statement saying that he was innocent and also, ratifying that this was a peaceful protest and that by handing himself in, he wanted to show that he had nothing to fear, he had done nothing illegal, and again, ratifying a message of peace to his followers. When does Maduro take responsibility? Maduro gave a very strong statement on Sunday calling Lopez a fascist and comparing Lopez's actions or his calling of peaceful protest to Nazi Germany, but after that he's not been seen. He's supposed to be giving a nationwide address in the following hours, but. I've yet to hear what he's going to say in reaction to this recent jailing or imprisonment of Lopez. Up till now, the government's reaction has been to decry all of these student protests as acts of fascism and also to say that they are backed by the U.S. It doesn't seem like there's too much of a dialogue in the next, couple of hours or even in the near future. It's a polarized situation, like you said.
But isn't the economy driving a lot of the popular anger, the lack of civil protection from crime, this is a country with a population equal to Canada
that has a murder rate greater than the United States. I mean, has the highest murder rate in the world, my understanding is. And basic things like toilet paper you can't get. You've got 56% inflation. I mean, is anybody in the government talking about the real problems that the Venezuelan people have? I can't imagine the U.S., you know, they had a hand in that original coup against Chavez, I think, in 92, that was like the most incompetent coup attempt in history. I cannot for the life of me imagine that the U.S. is trying to do anything except stay out of the way, because this sounds like a problem between Venezuelans.
I couldn't be more in agreement. It seems to me that this government is facing real challenges and real questions to its ability to govern. Venezuela has also been undergoing one of its highest, oil prices have been at a record high for the last at least 12 years, and nobody really knows what's been done with that money or even where it is. It's not just food shortages. It's having to, stand in line for hours on end. It's food rationing. It's a soaring crime rate. All this with the backdrop of having gone through one of the biggest oil booms in our country's history. So, this government is facing serious challenges, you know, to its ability to govern. Those are not addressed. It's one of the things that I kept on hearing today as I covered the march from people that attended. And surprisingly, I actually interviewed several people that were not even going to participate in the march because they weren't totally in agreement with it, but that still, coincided that this has gone on for too long and that there's no end in sight and that they're desperate. They're reaching a point of sort of critical mass. It's a bit of the general sentiment that I got today.
And again, I'm speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the UK and Sky TV. And my understanding is that, first of all that oil money was spent, but worse than that, the oil that's in the ground has been mortgaged to the Chinese, who have been keeping this government going. You know, a lot of Chavez's cronies and family have made an enormous amount of wealth. The cronyism, to my mind, every time I do an interview with somebody like you in Venezuela who's actually describing the situation the way it is and trying to be objective, American leftists get hysterical because they're so invested in this romantic idea of revolution. And to my mind, it doesn't do anybody any good when a socialist revolution goes off the rails. It doesn't do socialism any good.
Certainly not. I agree. I think that, this is probably going to go down as a huge embarrassment to socialism. Hospitals have collapsed. The educational system is in shambles. Infrastructure is crumbling. This isn't just a matter of food shortages, which are, of course, quite serious. This is basically a country that's spiraling out of control. Like I said, the murder rate here is a huge concern. The victims of this murder rate are not, wealthy Venezuelans. It's primarily young men living in shanty towns being killed by peers. So it's the young against the young, undereducated, probably, I don't know, there's huge problems of drug dealing going on, but that's a rumor that keeps on being heard. Increasingly so, and the corruption's just mounting to the point where even government officials admit to it. There's also been price controls that have done nothing but create all sorts of distortions, currency controls that again have only led to more and more corruption. There's been some acknowledgement of that by Maduro, but really, other than an acknowledgement, absolutely no sign that these people will in any way be prosecuted for this crime. So, I was speaking to a woman at today's protest, and she was saying that one of the reasons that she had so vehemently gone to protest, regardless of the repression that we've seen in the last couple of days, was because she was outraged that the police could be so efficient at repressing protests, but so inefficient at controlling crime. So again, just to tell you that there's mounting indignation at the way that this has all been handled.
But Virginia Lopez, why is Leopoldo Lopez the leader of this small party called Popular Will? Why is he being singled out as such a threat to the government? I mean, these protests were largely started by students. I don't understand what their case is and why they're trying to pin it both on the Americans and on this guy.
Well, my first reaction is that it's probably a smokescreen. It's one that nobody really knows what effect it's going to have. It could backfire. It could be that they've just created, you know, the next leader of the opposition, or it could be that, you know, that this just sort of evaporates into nothingness. There's a lot of people that have been jailed by the government and that are still waiting to be tried. Lopez had been quite vocal in asking Venezuelans to take to the streets to protest. He'd been saying that, you know, that the street was the way out. He was sort of heading a campaign called La Salida, which is Spanish for the exit. And in the last couple of months, he'd been quite vocal in his disapproval of the way that Venezuela is being governed. He's accused the government of being involved in narco-trafficking, of being a kleptocracy, of being incredibly corrupt. So again, he's just probably he's become the most vocal critic in these last couple of months. He counts with the support of the opposition coalition, but several of the leaders have also sort of vehemently asked for protests to be peaceful and have said that, you know, that a violent takeover isn't really the way for change here.
Well, but the fact that he's taken to the streets, isn't that in large part because there is no way to express political opposition in Venezuela? Because the media now is completely controlled by the government, except for some newspapers, but the main media, the television and radio, isn't that totally dominated by Maduro and the Chavistas?
Well, the incidents of the last couple of days, which I think have worked to bring out a lot of the sort of the latent problems that certainly the world isn't seeing in Venezuela, have also shown the extent to which there's a media blackout here in Venezuela. You're right, most of the TV stations are now under government control, be it overtly or, you know, or have been bought by pro-government, the private channels like Globovisión have been bought by, you know, businessmen with close ties to the government. We've been going through a media blackout, not only with the local media, but also with Colombian news channel NTN 24, NTN 24, being taken off the air and even off of the cable stations. Also, Twitter made a public statement saying that the signal here in Venezuela was being blocked. So yes, it's been incredibly difficult to know exactly what's going on. You know, people are taking massively to Twitter to inform, which of course also leads to a series of, you know, confusions and misinformation. So all very difficult, but also an incredibly dramatic way of showing how so many institutions in this country have been taken over by the government. And I'm not only referring to the media. It is one of Lopez's points is that, you know, the powers here have been sequestered. You know, there isn't a reliable judicial system. Even you know, everything's highly politicized. So yes, I think that he was trying to bring this to the forefront.
And the Colombian news channel, were they objective or were they, you know, anti-Maduro in their reporting?
It's they were probably anti-Maduro in their reporting, but the truth is that what was going on wasn't necessarily being shown in other TV stations at all. So, it's just a really difficult situation to gauge. Having said that, however, reporters of a newspaper called Últimas Noticias, which was sold to a pro-government group just recently, also wrote an open letter to the public denouncing that the front page that they had designed and were ready to run was changed at the last minute to give the whole news a different twist. They've also been incredibly active in piecing together all sorts of amateur and professional video of the way that two people were killed during the protest, two of armed security bodies from the government, which, according to the Venezuelan Constitution, should not be armed during a protest and certainly not shooting at people. But again, this has only been seen through social media.
Right.
They managed to publish it in their newspaper as well, I should say.
So the two victims were anti-government protesters. They were killed by pro-regime thugs. Is that what you're telling us?
There's three people that were killed, and a fourth one was run over yesterday. The three people, it was one student protesting against Chavez and then a member of a colectivo, which is a sort of armed militia-like group, pro-government. The circumstances have yet to be determined, but Maduro did say that these two men were killed by the same gun. In a separate incident that same night, another young man was killed as he protested, as the protest sort of escalated a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's been no official statement as to who killed these. From the video that these journalists put together, a lot of shots were fired by men that seemed to be with a group of government security forces.
So what is the Maduro? Obviously, he's not addressing the underlying problems of 56% inflation, the highest crime rate in the world, lack of basic staples like food and toilet paper. But apparently he is organizing the oil workers to come out in terms of counter demonstrations. He obviously doesn't have the same charismatic appeal that Chavez has. Are his supporters starting to lose their steam? I mean, they're all living in the same country. How long can you live on slogans?
There's a part of me that wants to say that if you're having to recruit government workers to march, that must certainly signal that you don't count with too much support. No, at least not the sort of spontaneous mass rallies that Chavez was able to amass on short notice. But ironically, the truth is that in the municipal elections of December, he won, or his party won by quite a bit considerable support. So, it's a difficult situation. There were municipal elections. There's not necessarily a huge voter turnout in municipal elections. But I think, I think the general sense in Venezuela is that this is difficult to tolerate for much longer, is what I kept on hearing today in the street. Like I said, from people on both spectrums of the political divide. The other thing that has happened, I think, is that, again, most people are moderate, but in the last couple of days, we've only been hearing the more sort of radical voices of both camps, no?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's likely to continue as long as you have polarization, and the people in the middle, are they being listened to?
No, not really. There isn't too much space for dialogue. And like I said, in these last events have only made this the very small or reduced spaces for dialogue have been reduced even further. These events have only escalated the feeling of desperation in the country.
Well, Virginia Lopez, we'll stay in touch. I hope that next time I call you, we can talk about something better than the bad news that you've given us here today. But it does sound like a country spiraling out of control?
I think you might be calling me in a couple of hours.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Likewise. Bye.
Again, I've been speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky TV. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back talking about Larry Summers' remarks about increasing taxes on the 1%.